turn back to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, we're up to verse 11. We have seen in this chapter how the Lord reveals godly character and then the outcome of godly character. And so the call is to exhibit this godly character to achieve the outcome. To keep my commands so you can have life and peace. To hold on to, as it says in verse 3, mercy and truth in order to have favor with God and with man. To trust the Lord in order to have direction. To fear the Lord in order to have healing. To honor the Lord in our worship with our first fruits in order to have prosperity. And of course, that's what we want. Prosperity. That's where it seems like blessing really lies. And it gets a little bit confusing when we don't see that prosperity. Instead, we seem to see something that looks like being chastised from the Lord. Something that looks like discipline. How do we respond then? Well, this question came up in the book of Job, the first verse of our passage actually expresses the problem of the book of Job. Eliphaz said to Job in chapter 5 and verse 17, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." He believed that Job was under correction because he had sinned. Job saw it differently. Job thought that God was not being just to him. And so he questioned God's justice. Eventually, he repented of that, questioning God, even though we don't really have an answer to the mystery as to why he was particularly suffering. But since the garden, sinners have gone in a different direction. We don't always question God's justice. Sometimes we do. But often, it's the motives of God that we question. And that came very early in the garden. And we need to consider this passage. We're going to look at it in two parts. Verse 11 tells us about our motives, which need to be changed. And then verse 12 tells us about the Lord's motives, which need to be embraced. So our motives, which need to be changed, and the Lord's motives, which need to be embraced. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Our motives need to be changed at times. We see two examples of motives that need to be changed in verse 11. But then there's that reason for it. The reason for it, the word for in verse 12. Because. It's because of the Lord's motives. The Lord's motives that you need to see, that you need to embrace. That's how your motives can be changed. That's how you learn to embrace the discipline of the Lord. By having your motives changed. And so this is a passage that's actually causing us to wrestle with our motivations as we relate to our Father in heaven. You see, we want the prosperity. We often think that's the sign of God's blessing. That was verses 9 and 10. We want our barns to be filled with plenty and our presses bursting out with new wine. But we'll get a little confused when we go through adversity. We get a little confused when we find that the Lord is actually chastening us. But we need to remember that it's the same fatherly care that's given to us. The same fatherly care that is actually a blessing. Psalm 94, verse 12 puts it this way. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. And Jesus says in Revelation 3, verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. You see, there are motives that we need to change. There are motives that we have that need to change as we relate to our Heavenly Father. And He's about the business of correcting us. This is about the business of making us fit for heaven. This is about the business of making us more like Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is chastening us. This passage begins with tender words. Two words. My son. Talking to men and women. Talking to boys and girls. Talking to you about the privilege of adoption. You are being called a son. You are being called a child of God here. This is the word of God speaking to you. You are being told that in your relationship with the Father in heaven, you are a child of God. You see, that's the right that Jesus has bought for you. That's the right of adoption that you've been given. And in this privileged relationship, this intimate relationship with God, there is a warning given, a call to change something about our motives, and that is to not despise the chastening of the Lord and not to be weary at His correction. There are two things here. To despise the chastening of the Lord is to want nothing to do with it. It's language of not wanting to have anything to do with someone or something. I despise that person. I despise that political party. I despise the chastening of the Lord. I don't want to have anything to do with it. It's a way of speaking of taking it too lightly. When I was younger, my mother tried to spank me. I don't know what I did or said. We were at my uncle and aunt's house. And I had jeans on, and she spanked me with her hand. And I laughed. It didn't hurt. My uncle said, come with me. So I went downstairs with him, and he built the paddle. It was that thick, and it was that long. And we had it for years. And it didn't have to be used that often because it's a pretty decent-sized thing. I despised the correction that I was being given. It was something that I took lightly. It didn't hurt. But see, that's how we can relate to the Lord, isn't it? We can say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. It doesn't really help me. And we despise it. It's possible to relate that way to the Lord. It's easy for Him to get our attention at times when we despise it, but we're warned about that motivation in the first place to develop this relationship with the Lord that says that we don't want to have anything to do with His process of educating us. To despise is to have a deep emotional reaction, to be repelled by it. This is not how the Lord should be treating me. Despise not the chastening of the Lord. But I want you to consider something. Chastening is a word for discipline. Chastening is a word that has to do with correction. Chastening is a word that has to do with setting you straight. Setting you straight as one who is the Father in heaven, as one who loves in this way. He shows you love because He is sending you strength. He's making you more like Jesus Christ. What would be the alternative? To not have discipline, but to have punishment. To not have discipline and to be in a situation where you had the wrath of God fully poured out on you and you were separated from Him. Because in His fatherly care, He is designing your correction that you might be disciplined by Him, that you might consider the ways in which He is treating you in a way that is designed for your encouragement and for you to be built up. The author of Hebrews quotes from this passage in a situation where the people of God were suffering severely. They were under tremendous pressure from outside. And the author of Hebrews actually quotes from this particular verse. And listen to what he says. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." The comparison is made to earthly fathers, but then the Word of God says that our Father in heaven is much greater than our earthly fathers. Some of us have had the experience, or we've seen the experience, of being corrected by someone, and it was for their own pleasure. In other words, you irritated the man. You made him angry because he was personally irritated with you. But the book of Hebrews says that that's not how the Father chastens us. That's not how he disciplines us. It's for the purpose of creating holiness. It's so that we might be partakers of his holiness. It's actually for our benefit. That's why we're called upon to not despise it, to not take it lightly, because it's actually for our great benefit. But you see, when the Lord disciplines us, when he chastens us, it's possible to have two responses. One is to take it too lightly, to despise it, and to say, you know, I want nothing to do with that. When it's for our holiness. Just like we would despise someone who disciplined us simply because they were personally irritated. Simply because it presented, you know, them with an interruption in their day. We might despise that. But you see, when the Lord disciplines us, it's never like that. It's never like that at all. It's always so that we might become more holy. That we might become more like Jesus Christ. So we are called upon not to despise the way that the Lord disciplines us. But you see, there's the other response. The other response, Nisa's actually seen when she's been working at the Y. She's actually seen it on both sides with one child. First time, the child was told that they had to have a consequence. The child was, you know, rebelling, standing against it. But then, later on, after a few things happened, that child went the other direction. Immediately grieved. Immediately overwhelmed. Almost inconsolable. And you see, that's the other side. We can either take the Lord's discipline too lightly, or we can say, this is too heavy for me. I cannot bear this. Like Jonah, who has the plant taken away from him. Like Jonah, who has to endure the misery of seeing God be gracious to the Ninevites. Because he's gracious. Jonah, this is too heavy for me. And so, what's the solution for us? Instead of despising or taking too lightly the Lord's discipline, we reverence it. We see that it is for our holiness. We see that it is for our good. And instead of considering it to be too heavy, instead of seeing it as being something that we cannot endure, we count it joy. because the book of James instructs us concerning this. We are being called upon to examine our motives. How is it that you respond when the Lord disciplines you? Now, and it's important for us to realize, when the Lord disciplines us, it's not just simply when we are in a formal setting before a judge, or before the elder of the church, or before a teacher. It's actually in the course of our lives. It's actually in the course of providential things that happen in our lives. God is orchestrating all things so that we might be partakers of his holiness. He's orchestrating all things so that we might participate in the joy of the arrival of Jesus Christ and everything that that means. If he saves up even our tears in a bottle, the Psalm 56 says, then surely the Lord is able to use all situations to bring about our holiness, to point us in the right direction, because we are his children. And so you're directed by this proverb to consider the way that the Lord corrects, how he returns us to the pathway that we need to be on. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Don't think that it's too heavy for you. Don't take it too lightly. Why? Because the correction of the Lord is designed to put you on the right road. This is how Jesus put it in Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If the way to life is narrow, if the way to life has not been traveled by all, then it's actually God's mercy to us to direct us to that road. However that might happen, through a conversation with someone who tells you about your finances, through the sudden injury to a loved child. How is it that we can see this as the Lord's discipline? Because we are directed to him in the midst of these circumstances, and we must see that he is returning us to the right road. We must see that in his wisdom, the Lord is actually providing for us to see something that is his motive. Our motives are at times in need of being changed. We take the Lord's discipline too lightly, or we consider it to be too heavy, and we don't see what we really need to see, and that is the Lord's motive. The Lord's motive for putting you on the right road. The Lord's motive for making it possible for you to be a partaker of his holiness. The Lord's motive for making you his child endure this. I want the prosperity. I want my barns to be filled with plenty and my presses burst out with new wine. But if this is the way for you to see the Lord's motive, then it's important that we see what his motive is. And this verse tells us about two categories. The motive for his correction, first of all, is love. He loves you. That's why he's correcting you, because he loves you. Now, it's easy for us to despise, because maybe we've heard it before. I'm correcting you because I love you. But we detect an irritation, we detect a lack of love. But I'm telling you that when the Lord corrects you, this passage shows you that it's because he loves you. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And we're going to get to delight in a second, but I want you to understand that this is what the author of Hebrews by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is focusing on. Focusing on in a context where people have become discouraged, have become overwhelmed by the actions of people around them. And the author of Hebrews says that this is part of their chastening. This is part of their correcting. And he says that if they were illegitimate children, they wouldn't be corrected at all. The Father in heaven would just let them go. But because you are children, he is designing for you to experience the profit of his correction. It leads to holiness. And Hebrews 12:11 says this, which we know to be true: no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's very unpleasant to go through discipline. That's why we resist it so much. It's very unpleasant to be confronted on something. We buck up against it. But if it's for the purpose of causing us to partake in holiness, then we need to see the point of it. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. It's for the purpose of making you better. So we can ask a simple question when we face discipline from the Lord. When we realize that the Lord is putting his hand on an area of our life, is this designed to make me bitter or better? It's designed to make you better. It's designed to make you better, and it's also designed that you might see his love. That you might see that this is the one who's showing his love to you. Remember what Jesus said? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Psalm 94, verse 12, which we saw before: blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. There is a kind of discipline that enables us to see the motivation of our Father in heaven, which is love. But you see, this passage pushes us beyond that motivation. It pushes us beyond even the general statement of love. It speaks to us of something else, something that is equally as joyous. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Delight. Delight. That reminds me, that reminds you, of how the Father thought about the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, this is my beloved Son. The delight of the Father in the Son. It's matchless. There's no way that you can compare the relationship of the Father to the Son. But anything. It's revealed to us in Scripture. This Father delighted in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, what did the Lord Jesus Christ go through? Hebrews 5 tells us, in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You see what's happening there? The Lord Jesus Christ is the one in whom the Father had perfect delight. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who experienced the Father's love to the max. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is taking your place. You have motives that need to be changed. The Father has motives that you need to embrace. And you so you know, see what the Lord Jesus Christ does. He stands there, right in the middle, embracing the Father's love, embracing the Father's delight, but standing in your place, the one who needs correction, the one who needs to be set right, And for him, that resulted in his suffering. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as God the Son, learned obedience. Why is he learning obedience? Why is he persevering in suffering? So that you might have spiritual resources to see the Father's love and delight in you. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one through whom we were received by God. Hebrews 2 tells us about this as we are wrapping our way to a conclusion here this morning. I want you to consider this. It became him, Hebrews 2:10 says, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. How is it that the Lord Jesus Christ is defined as a captain of our salvation? As our brethren? As our brother? It's through his sufferings. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is experiencing this suffering in order that he might take your place, in order that he might lead you through in the time when the Lord is correcting you, in the time when the Lord is showing you his chastening, in the time when he's showing you his discipline, which is not designed to make you holy. You have one who became one with you in that. That's the Lord Jesus. He lived this way, way before you. If there's anyone who could have taken it lightly and said, this doesn't apply to me, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if there's anyone who could have become so overwhelmed that he couldn't even see the Father's love, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Think of him there in the garden. He's sweating drops of blood. He's praying. The disciples can't even stay awake. He's sweating drops of blood. You haven't sweat drops of blood. Why is he sweating drops of blood? Isn't he going to become totally overwhelmed? Isn't he going to become weary of this correction? This doesn't apply to me. Why am I experiencing this weight? Or the other side? This means nothing to me. I'm not guilty of that. But he goes right through it to help you, you see, when you're tempted to take things too lightly. Or when you're tempted because of the weight of correction not to see the Father's love. You see, you need to see that it's because the Father loved the Son. And because your adoption is in him, that you yourself are able to see his delight. And that's, you see, the point that the author of Hebrews emphasizes. That's the point that Holy Scripture emphasizes. Let me read that to you again as we close. And ye have forgotten the exhortation, or word of encouragement, which is Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. The exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Scourgeth. I thought that was a word that applied to the apostles, to Jesus Christ being scourged. This doesn't sound like discipline. This sounds like punishment. But this is the way that we are received in Jesus Christ, the Word of God says. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If entering into glory means that you need to be separated from your sin, and if the Father in his love has sent the Son to provide for you to be received. And then the process is separating you from your sin. Then we can always see his love. We can always see that the Father loves us because he's given us his Son. And we can endure the separating of our lives from our sin because we know that it's designed for us to be partakers of his holiness, the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We know that we are being fitted for glory. That person who comes along and says to me, you know, the way that you've managed your money in the last 5 years, it doesn't show self-control. And we say, I can't listen to this. I'm trying. Or we blow it off. But what if this is the way that the Lord is fitting you for glory? Is helping you to be partakers of his holiness. Helping you to see his love. Helping you to see how he delights in you. You see, all of the things that we experience are designed for us to see that he loves us and that he receives us in Jesus Christ.